Well, before we get into apps, let's talk about the big picture. So I'm sure many of you have attended many sessions about Azure Active Directory, and some of these slides may look familiar, but just bear with me. So as you've all learned already, successful businesses realize the need to support employee productivity and collaboration in a mobile-first world. You need to mitigate the risks of providing freedom and space to your employees. You need to meet compliance and regulation standards, maintain security policies to detect threats, all while giving workers a better and more productive experience. Microsoft's vision includes management and protection across four key layers: users, devices, applications, and data, for both your employees, business partners, and customers. So our strategy is to ensure management across these layers by providing access to everything that they need from everything. We can protect corporate data across collaboration apps, all while integrating these new capabilities with what customers already have, like Active Directory. So our solution to this is Azure Active Directory and the Enterprise Mobility Suite. Traditional identity solutions, such as Active Directory, are used by the vast majority of organizations today, and these solutions are perfect in the on-premise world. Now we've got new pressing requirements to provide the same experience to cloud and SaaS applications. Azure Active Directory can be the solution to this by extending the reach of on-premises AD into the cloud in a secure and efficient way. And so in order to do that, one simple connection is needed from on-premises directories to Azure AD, and then everything else is handled by the AD, including all the application trusts, configuring secure single sign-on to everything, and it's all hosted in the cloud using the same credentials that users use on-premises. So Azure AD has enjoyed a lot of rapid adoption since its beginning as the back-end identity system used by Office 365. So today, 90% of Fortune 500 companies use Azure Active Directory. Those companies have more than 750 million user accounts in Azure AD. And today, Azure AD is doing authentication with over 110,000 third-party applications every month. That's 1.3 billion authentications every day. And every Office 365 and Azure customer uses Azure Active Directory today. So we have a lot of scale, and we have a lot of maturity. So all the talks that we've been giving on Azure Active Directory have fallen into one of these four categories. There's thousands of apps with one identity, enabling business without borders, managing access at scale, and cloud-powered protection. The focus of this talk is going to be the first slide, or the first section, thousands of apps with one identity. So in this session, we're going to talk about how do you do cloud-connected seamless authentication for SaaS apps? How can you use your one organizational credential hosted in Azure Active Directory to sound into thousands of third-party SaaS apps, including your own apps that you develop? And how can you automate user account record creation and deletion when employees get hired and leave your organization? So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to have a look at what all of this looks like from the end user experience. So usually when I come to work in the morning, the first thing I do is I check my email. And in my organization, we use Office 365 for that. So I'm going to sign in to Outlook. I'm signing in to my company, which is Wingtip Toys. This is my company branding. It's not Office branding. I'm going to click here to sign in, enter my password. And I can check my email. Looks like I'm all caught up. So now I want to go access some apps. I want to get some stuff done. And so if I want to sign into ServiceNow because I'm in IT and I need some stuff to do inside ServiceNow, I can go to my Office 365 app launcher. And I can see all of my Office apps, but I can also see a bunch of third-party SaaS apps that I also need to do my job. So right here is ServiceNow. And just by clicking on the tile, I get signed in. So there I am. Aaron Smalser signed into ServiceNow. I did not have to enter a separate username or password. So let's say I want to go into another app like Salesforce. So I could click on Salesforce, or let's say I've got a bookmark to my company's Salesforce site, and I remember what that is, or I have an old bookmark to it. I can go directly to my company's Salesforce tenant and get signed in. And so you can sign in directly from the app, or you can sign in from Office 365. So let's say I need access to a few more apps to do my job. In Office 365, I can click View All My Apps. and I can see all the Office 365 apps that are at my disposal, and I can see all of the Azure AD integrated apps that I currently have access to. So as you can see, I can sign into DocuSign, Slack, Workday, Google Apps, all from this experience. There's also a link here to add more apps. Now, this is a link that I actually put here. So if I were administrator of a directory and I wanted to give users the ability to add and request their own applications, we have another portal called the Azure AD Access Panel that enables features such as self-service group management and self-service app access. And using a feature in Azure Active Directory Premium, I've put a link to that portal here in Office 365, and I've called it Add Apps. So I'm going to click on this, and it's going to take me to the Access Panel self-service app access experience. So here's where I can request access to apps that other people may be using in my organization. And so if I want to request access to Dropbox, I can click on it. I click Add. And this instantly kicks off a provisioning process that will go create my account in Dropbox, and within just a few minutes, I'll have access to the application. So let's say I need to make changes to my company's Twitter homepage. So every company has a Twitter site, and the typical way that Twitter sites are managed is Twitter gives you one username and password that has to be shared by an entire marketing organization. And so one of the features that we provide is the ability to create a shared access. And so if I wanted to request access to Twitter to specifically support to modify my company's Twitter homepage, I click Add. And for this app, it kicks off a request workflow where the head of marketing will get an email, and they'll click on it, they'll approve my access, and then Twitter will show up. And when I click on Twitter, it'll sign me into Twitter using the company's organizational accounts. So that's just a quick taste of what you can get with Azure Active Directory for the end user experience. So switching back to slides here. So how many people can explain the SAML protocol? How many people know generally what single sign-on is? So this is a 200-level talk, and so I think it would be a good idea just to level set a little bit. So what happens if you don't have single sign-on? So that means users have to enter a username and password into every single app that they have to use. That means a lot of memorization, it's a lot of passwords to keep track of. Password reuse is really common. A lot of users, if they have to remember 20 passwords, they'll just reuse the same password over and over and over again. And when that happens, you're only as secure as your least secure app. So 63% of data breaches involve weak, default, or stolen passwords. So if somebody's organizational password is stolen from a weak app, a hacker could use that and potentially sign in to your corporate resources. And also, if users are creating and managing their own accounts, revoking access is very, very difficult. If somebody leaves the company, it's really, really hard to disable that account and stop them from doing malicious things with your company data or with your, you know, in the name of your company. So single sign-on, in a nutshell, it provides convenience. Users don't have to remember multiple usernames and passwords. It provides improved security. The password is only ever stored in Azure AD. And instead of entering a password into every application, the app receives an authentication token that Azure AD issues. And so the user only ever signs in with Azure Active Directory. None of the apps store or use a password. And single sign-on also gives you central management, where you can centrally manage authentication processes. So how does this work? Azure AD supports single sign-on with apps that support any of these standard protocols, including SAML 2.0, OAuth 2.0, and OpenID Connect, and WS Federation. So these are all standard protocols for single sign-ons that thousands of enterprise apps support and have been out there for almost decades. So an application, when you're setting up single sign-on, an application needs to be configured to use Azure AD as its identity provider. And once Azure AD has been configured and the app has been configured, the app no longer requires direct username and password input and instead redirects to the identity provider each time users authenticate. So here's generally how this works. As a user, I'm using a web browser. I'm going to browse to my app. But instead of entering a username and password in that app, it'll redirect me to the Azure AD sign-in page for authentication. That's where I sign in. When the Azure AD sign-in page redirects me back to the app, in the HTTP request, it has a digitally signed authentication token, which the app knows how to validate, and then the app lets me in. So, quick poll, how many people know the difference between service provider initiated and identity provider initiated sign-on? Anybody? So these are terms that get used a lot, but in a nutshell, SP initiated sign-in just means users can go directly to the app's web page and they can sign in using their federated identity provider. On the other hand, identity provider initiated sign-in, users can't sign in directly to the application using their third-party identity provider, and they have to use an app launching experience or a specially crafted link to sign in. And so if you have any experience implementing single sign-on, you'll find apps that some of them do SP-initiated and some of them do IDP-initiated. Azure Active Directory supports both of these things. So here's how IDP-initiated works. A user would browse to an app launcher, such as the Access Panel or Office 365. They would sign in there. They'd click on their app tile, and then the app gets its token and signs the user in. And so there's lots of ways to sign in to apps using Azure AD. So we just looked at Office 365 and launching apps from there. We also have the Azure AD Access Panel, where we looked at the self-service app access experience. And there's also, if you don't want your users to use any of these app launchers, but you have apps that need to do identity provider initiated sign-on, we also have these specially crafted app sign-in links, which you can copy from the management portal and copy and paste wherever you want. And those will get users signed in. So a common question that I get all the time, even while I've been here at the conference, is, hey, do I still need ADFS to do this stuff? What's the relationship between ADFS and Azure Active Directory? So ADFS still has one very important purpose when you've set up Azure Active Directory. Now, you can use Azure Active Directory to sign into all your SaaS apps, and you'd be perfectly happy as long as you're willing to sign in using a web form at least once. So if you have ADFS, then what that gives you is the power to seamlessly sign in from your domain join machine. So if I sign in to my laptop or my PC at work, just the act of signing into the machine will automatically get me signed into Office and all these SaaS apps with no need for a cloud authentication prompt. And so if you have ADFS, you get that seamless authentication experience from a domain join device. And if you're just using Azure AD by itself, you can still authenticate everywhere. You just have a web form. But when you have ADFS, it only maintains one trust relationship, and that's between your on-premises directory and your Azure Active Directory. All of your application trusts, how many dozens or hundreds or thousands of those you have, you maintain all of those in Azure AD, which we've made simpler and easier to manage. So that's great, but what if an application doesn't support federated single sign-on? What if it doesn't do SAML or OpenID Connect or any of those other federated protocols? Then what do I do? What if it only supports a form where I have to enter a username and password? So as it turns out, Azure Active Directory has a solution for that as well. It's called password-based single sign-on, and today it's the best solution for apps that don't support SAML, OpenID Connect, or AWS Federation and only do usernames and passwords. So here's how that works. So if you're deploying an app, password-based SSO enables you to store application-specific sets of credentials in Azure AD, and you can assign those credentials either to individual users or to groups. So the canonical use case of assigning like one credential to a group of users is Twitter. And then once the credentials are entered, the apps are assigned to various users or groups. When users go to launch the application from their Access Panel or from Office or using their special links, they may be prompted to download a browser extension, which automatically retrieves the stored credentials when they try to sign into these apps and then fills them into the app sign-in page on their behalf and gets them signed in. And so with this method, they're essentially using the username and password form on the app, but they don't have to know what the credentials are. It's all automated. And for mobile devices that don't support browser extensions, we have a mobile app available that facilitates this. So next topic, what is user account provisioning? So user provisioning is a term that gets used a lot in enterprise IT. And simply put, it's the act of creating, updating, and disabling user account records in an application's local user profile store. So while some apps get the user's role and permission data from the authentication token that they get from Azure AD, the vast majority of SaaS apps store the user's role and permissions and what their level of privileges are in the local user profile store, which frequently has to be created independent of the authentication process. So how does account creation usually work? Well, I think the most common way is users will have a need for an app, and they'll go sign up for the app and create their own accounts on their own. And so 80% of employees admit to using non-approved software as a service apps on their job. It's a statistic. So when users do this, there's zero governance, and it's very, very difficult to manage those accounts and disable account access when users leave the organization. Now, a lot of enterprise IT, they have solutions for this that involve an administrator or an organizational lead or somebody manually creating these accounts on the user's behalf, which they can go into the application's portal and create the accounts, or the application may provide a way to send an invite, which they automate. But in these solutions, it still requires a lot of overhead and immediate attention when a user transitions or leaves. And so kind of the next level, a lot of enterprise apps that do SAML have a capability called SAML just-in-time provisioning, where when a user signs into an app using their federated identity, using their organizational account, the app can be configured to automatically create the account the first time the user signs in. However, that doesn't solve deprovisioning. It may create the record, but when the user leaves the company, that record is not automatically removed. So our solution to this is Azure Active Directory automatic provisioning. So Azure Active Directory has a provisioning service that can connect to any SOAP or REST management API that's exposed by an application, and it can automatically add, update, and disable user accounts based on their state in Azure Active Directory. I'll note that syncing of group objects in addition to user objects is also supported, and in some cases we can even import data from the SaaS applications, such as roles and permissions that you might want in the directory so you can assign them. So here's how it works. So in Azure Active Directory, the provisioning service queries AD for assigned users and groups. Then our synchronization engine connects to the app's SOAP REST API, and it compares the state of the assigned users with the users that are already in the app's identity store, and then it creates, updates, or disables the account as necessary. And then this process repeats approximately every 10 minutes. So note that Azure AD does not delete any users in the target app by default. We've learned that's bad. That can mess with the user's audit history and the ability to re-enable the account in a future date. By default, Azure AD only disables accounts. And so what apps does Azure AD support? How can I go about connecting an app to the provisioning service? So Microsoft builds and supports connectors for top apps, which include all of the ones here and more. We've got connectors for Salesforce, ServiceNow, Google Apps, Dropbox, Facebook at Work, Box, Concur. It also works directly with apps that support either the SCIM 1.0 or 2.0 standard. So unlike single sign-on, there aren't as many standardized protocols that a lot of applications support for provisioning. However, SCIM, SCIM, is an emerging standard for user account provisioning, and it's already been adopted by big companies like Facebook at Work. Our Facebook at Work connector today that you can find in our app gallery is based on SCIM 2.0. And so if the app's not in the gallery and if it doesn't support SCIM, you can still build custom provisioning connectors using some CLR libraries that we provide, as well as some code samples. And if anybody is really interested in building custom connectors to do provisioning to any of your apps, we currently have a brand new SDK for our provisioning service that's in private preview. So if that's really interesting to you, then you can come talk to me after the session, and we can give you more information. And so when you're deploying provisioning, you've got some deployment options. You can deploy provisioning for brand new apps where everything that you need is in Azure Active Directory, and then you can easily export that data into the new app that you're setting up and control which users have access to it. You can also deploy provisioning for existing app deployments, where you can configure attribute mappings that will match the existing properties and user IDs that are stored there, and then Azure AD will only manage the accounts that you've selected and have put in scope. And so if you have a lot of accounts in your target app that you don't want managed, you can do that. So I can't really give a talk about provisioning without talking about inbound provisioning from HR applications. So how many people here are interested in this topic? How many people came to this talk specifically to learn about this topic? Okay, a few people. So today we have a preview for inbound provisioning from Workday, and we're planning on building a number of different connectors for other HR apps. So over the last year, this has been a really major area of investment for the Azure AD team. And we've learned quite a bit from a lot of you, our customers, about what your requirements are for inbound provisioning from HR apps. And so we've learned that you need a solution that can propagate user accounts into not just Azure Active Directory, but into on-premise Active Directory across multiple forests. We've also learned that you need to automate key HR scenarios, such as employee hiring, name changes, transfers, and terminations. We've learned that you need to be able to automate the creation of usernames based on logic that you define, with the ability to automatically pick a different name if one is already taken when an employee is hired. You need a system that doesn't assume that every user in Workday belongs in your identity systems, nor does it assume that every user in your identity systems came from the HR app. And you also need a solution that allows you to write back user account properties to Workday, such as the email address. And so I'm happy to say that we have a solution today that can do all of that in private preview. If you're really interested in learning more, please come talk to me after the session and we can get you engaged and you can start using that feature. So okay, I'm ready to deploy single sign-on from some apps. Where do I start? So the first thing you should do is you should check if the application is in the Azure AD App Gallery. So the App Gallery is where we have a bunch of apps that are known to support some form of a federated single sign-on and or provisioning with Azure AD. And there's a couple of classes of apps that show up in our gallery. So there's developer integrated apps where the developer did all of the work to integrate deeply with Azure Active Directory. Those apps are typically very easy to set up. You can set them up with one click. They give you a consent dialog and you consent to whatever permissions they need and then they're set up and they can go. They can do automatic certificate maintenance so you don't have to roll in any keys. And they can also call into the Microsoft Graph API to do a lot of things and potentially facilitate provisioning and deprovisioning on their own. Another class of applications are Microsoft integrated. And so when customers come to us and they ask about, talk to us about Azure Active Directory and Azure Active Directory Premium, the feedback that we get is they don't really see a lot of value in it unless they can do single sign-on provisioning to all the apps that they use. Not just the Microsoft ecosystem apps or not just a few top apps, but all the apps. And so we have an app integration team that listens to customer requirements, and we will go out and we will build connectors and we will do pre-integrated single sign-on integrations with existing apps, just leveraging the best SSO protocols or APIs that they currently support. And when we do this, we provide step-by-step configuration user interfaces and documentation to help IT people set it up, where the goal is to lower the bar. Instead of having to be a specialist where you have to be an expert in ADFS and federation protocols, we try to provide step-by-step instructions that an IT generalist can follow and still figure out and get working. And so many of the apps that we integrate support provisioning connectors. All of the featured apps in our gallery support automatic provisioning, which we just discussed. And we've got thousands of pre-integrated apps today, and it's only growing. We're adding dozens, you know, if not more, every single month. So here's some useful links. You can browse the app gallery online at azure.com. But there's also I'll give you a tip. There's actually an application that will list all the apps in the gallery with their integration capabilities, which ones are ISV integrated, which ones are Microsoft integrated, and what capabilities therein do they have. Following that website, we'll get you that information. It's a pretty commonly requested thing. And finally, you can go check out all of our SaaS application tutorials, which give you guidance on how to set up everything online. So, okay, I used the gallery, I didn't find my app, so now what do I do? So we've got a couple of different integration options for configuring and using apps that aren't in the gallery. The first one is we have the ability to bring your own apps. So if you have Azure Active Directory Premium and you don't find your application, you can self-connect any app that supports SAML 2.0, WS Federation, or even just does password authentication, and you want to set up password SSO for your app. You can add any app that supports any of those federation protocols or just an HTML password page. For more information, I have a link here. Second category, of course, we have a developer platform where if you're developing an app, you can integrate it deeply with Azure Active Directory. If you follow our stock guidance, it will take you down the path of implementing OpenID Connect with OAuth, which is fairly lightweight and simple to do. It also gives you the ability to call Graph if your app needs to do that. And finally, you can request apps from us. And so you can help our team get you the pre-integrated apps that you want, so you get the great point-and-click experience that we can provide for a pre-integrated gallery app. And we have a brand new process for requesting apps for single sign-on integrations and provisioning integrations to apps. There's a brand new process. Just follow that URL right there. It's pretty short. And you can request the apps that you need. So let's look at what this looks like from the administrator's perspective to set all this stuff up. So during the course of this demo, I'm going to be switching back and forth between two different portals. We have the Azure Classic portal, which has been around a long time. And we also have a new preview of the new management portal at portal.azure.com. And I'm going to be showcasing kind of some lessons learned and some kind of new improvements that we made in the new portal. So to get started, I'm going to go to the application section of my Azure Active Directory extension. And so I'm signed in as a directory administrator. And I want to take a look at ServiceNow. Actually, before we look at ServiceNow, let's look at the App Gallery experience. So if I want to do a new integration, I have these options. I can add an app that my organization is developing. That will take me through the developer guidance. I can add an app from the gallery for my organization to use. There's also another feature that we provide where you can publish an application that is hosted on your intranet. It's an internal application. You can publish it in the cloud through a proxy endpoint. I believe there is at least one other talk during Ignite on that topic. But here we're going to focus on the gallery. So here's the gallery. There's over 2,700 apps supported here today. If I wanted to add ServiceNow for the first time, I would simply search for it or find it in the list of apps, and then I would add it. So since ServiceNow is already added, let's take a look at the management experience. So when you add an app, you get this screen that provides you with a bunch of steps for configuring the app. So the first step that it shows is configuring single sign-on. So you have a couple of options here. The first option is the federated single sign-on option that uses SAML 2.0. The second option is, it's called existing single sign-on, but if you just want to put a link to an app in Office 365 or in your access panel where it's not really doing any single sign-on, you just want to put an app tile there, such as the tile that I put for adding an app in the demo earlier. That's the option that you would use. Not on ServiceNow, but for a different app. So let's look at how to configure ServiceNow. So if I'm an IT administrator deploying SSO, the only thing that I have to enter into Azure AD is the URL of my ServiceNow tenant, which everybody knows, that's where everybody goes to sign in. I'm not asked to enter anything more technical than that. If I want to, I can optionally override all of the SAML properties that Azure AD has to know about, such as the identifier URI, the entity ID, the assertion consumer service URL, also known as the reply URL, but you don't have to do any of that. That's all pre-integrated into our app gallery metadata. So all I have to do to configure Azure AD is enter the URL of my ServiceNow tenant. So we support a pretty cool feature for ServiceNow. So ServiceNow is a very robust SaaS app, and among other things, it provides a management API that allows clients to go in and automatically configure a SAML identity provider. And so here we've leveraged that. And so instead of having to go to ServiceNow and manually configure it to use Azure AD, you can simply give it your ServiceNow instance name, which is the URL that we just saw, your username and your password, and we can reach out and automatically configure ServiceNow for you, and then you could just be done. Single sign-on will be set up. But if you don't want to do that, there's also a manual option where you can download a certificate, you can copy and paste a bunch of URLs, and you can follow the documentation that we provide to go manually configure ServiceNow. So that's another option available to you. And then once you've completed these steps, you're done. Single sign-on is enabled. So the next thing you might want to do is you might want to configure automatic provisioning to an application. So the way that works is you have to give Azure Active Directory the credentials for a service account that it can use to connect to the application's API. In many cases, the administrator account will work. But in many cases, you want to, when you deploy it to production, you want to lock it down to a specific service account. So you give the service account to Azure AD, and then it can go connect to the REST or SOAP API or SCIM API that's provided by the app. And when you're setting it up, you have a couple of options. You can choose to sync all of the users in your directory to the application, or you can choose to not do that and instead do specific user and groups assignments that you specifically want to have provisioned. And you can also choose whether to provision users or user and group objects for many apps. And you can also opt into failure notifications. If there's a failure synchronizing data to the application, you can get a notification via email. And that's all there is to setting up the core bits of provisioning. So the last thing that you do here is you can assign users. And so assigning a user in Azure Active Directory or a group, it does three things. The first thing it does is it unblocks that user or that group of users to be able to sign into that application. The next thing it does is it will put that user or group into the provisioning queue to be automatically provisioned to that app if they're not there already. And the last thing it does is it causes the tile to appear in the user's Office 365 app launcher. So those are the three things that an assignment does. And after I've assigned a user, that user will go into provisioning queue, their account will automatically be created, single sign-on's already set up, so they can just go sign in a matter of minutes. So the next thing I want to touch on is attribute mapping. So in what we call brownfield scenarios, where you've already deployed an application, it's already set up, and users are already signing in a different way with different usernames and passwords than you might have in Azure AD, attribute mapping helps you kind of snap the way Azure AD works to the way that your application is currently deployed today. And there's two types of mappings. You can do mappings for single sign-on and provisioning. So under single sign-on, this feature allows you to adjust the claims and the data that get sent in the SAML or JWT authentication token that gets sent to the app each time that they sign in. And so for pre-integrated apps, by far the most common thing that people come here to do is configure the name identifier. So it's a very common situation where people might sign into Azure Active Directory using what's called a user principal name, which is a username. But when the app was deployed, let's say the SaaS app was deployed virally within your organization, people use their email addresses as their username. And in your organization, your email address may not be the same thing as your UPN. So by going here, I can tell Azure AD to, when users sign in, emit the email address property as the username to the app, so the app can match this user to the way that they're stored in the app. And if you need to make other customizations to the SAML claims, you can do that here as well. Very similarly, you can modify all of the attributes that get synced between Azure AD and the target SaaS app as part of our provisioning service. Other things you can set up for an app is you can configure conditional access and multi-factor authentication. So if a user is, let's say, they're outside of their corporate firewall, they're at home, and they need access to a sensitive app, you can enforce multi-factor authentication, whereas that wouldn't happen on-premises. You can also define device-based rules here. And you can also enable self-service app access for this app, which we looked at earlier. And finally, Azure AD provides you with reporting capabilities, where you can start with the application dashboard. Here I can see who's signing into this application, how many sign-ins, how many unique users. And I can also get my account provisioning reports, like how many users have been provisioned to this app, how many users are using it, were there any errors. If there's any synchronization errors, I can go look at the provisioning errors report here. So now that you have the big picture of what it's like to manage a pre-integrated SaaS app, why don't we take a look at some cool new things that we're doing in the new management portal. So one of the things you can do in the new portal is you can pin almost anything that you want to the home screen. And so when I sign in, I've already pinned a link to all of the users that I'm managing app access for. I've pinned a list to all of the enterprise applications that I've managed, and I've also pinned links to Salesforce and ServiceNow, which may be apps that I just recently deployed and I want to check up on. So let's go into Salesforce this time. So when I'm editing the settings for Salesforce, there's a couple of cool new things that I can do here. One is that we recognize that by far the most common use case for SAML attribute mapping is just changing the name identifier, and so we've elevated that into kind of its own required step, so it's very visible and hopefully easier to understand. In the next preview, we'll have the ability to go into an advanced mode where you can configure all the attributes, but now the user identifier is elevated. And the other thing that's cool is when you're configuring Salesforce, we now have embedded inline documentation. So instead of the very, very long comprehensive articles that we had on Azure.com, you can go here and just see the information that you need to do to sign into Salesforce and configure it as an identity provider. So that's just some of the cool things that we're doing in the new portal. So I'm going to switch back to the old portal here for a second, and let's talk about custom applications or bring your own app. So if I go back to my apps list and I click add, so let's say I want to add an application, and maybe this could be an app that I've developed that happens to support SAML, or it could be a third-party app that that supports SAML, and I want to see if there's a pre-integrated app for it. And so let's say it's called Litware CRM. All right, well, I didn't find Litware CRM, but I do see an option to add an unlisted app that my organization is using. So I'm going to click on that. I'm going to give it a name. I've just added it. And you'll see the experience for configuring this custom app is very, very similar to the pre-integrated experience. The main difference, and I can configure SAML, I can configure password-based authentication, or I can just add a link. I can add a link to any website or any app using this feature, to Office or any of the other app launchers. So if I want to configure SAML for Litware, it's very similar to the pre-integrated experience, but I have to enter information that's just a little bit more technical. I have to know a little bit more about the SAML implementation of Litware to know what its identifier and its reply URL are. And so once I've configured that, I now have a bunch of different options for going and configuring the identity provider. So of course, there's no pre-integrated documentation for a custom app because it's custom, but you do have the ability to download a Federation metadata document, and you can download certificates of different types depending on what the app's requirements are. So setting up SSO for a custom app is a lot like a pre-integrated app. You can also set up custom provisioning connectors using this feature. And so if my application supports SCIM 1.0 or 2.0, all I do is I click here, I enter my application SCIM 1.0 or 2.0 endpoint, and I paste in the OAuth bearer token that it gives me, and then everything's good. Then synchronization works much the same as pre-integrated applications. And this also works for apps where I've developed a custom connector. You can put the URL of your custom connector here and do provisioning to potentially any app that supports a SOAP or REST API. So that is the management experience in a nutshell. I'm going to switch back to slides here. So we have a lot of customers using Azure Active Directory today. Here's just sort of some of them. You can rest assured that some company in your current vertical has successfully deployed and is using Azure Active Directory today. And one of the customers that I'm going to highlight is called Bristow. And Kapil, I believe he's in the audience today. But they're a big user of our single sign-on provisioning features, and they currently use it quite a lot. So next steps. So things I would encourage you to do if this talk was interesting is you can engage on the tech community website, which hopefully you have links to. There's a link right there. If you have any questions if you'd like me to provide any links to more information, I'm happy to do it in that discussion forum. You can learn more about Azure AD SaaS app integration here on the Azure.com website. You can check out our app integration tutorials. And finally, you can tell us what app integrations you want to see next. If you have an app that you want to do single sign-on for, please go to aka.ms/aad/app request and tell us what you want. So here are some other resources to keep going as you continue in the session, in the conference. Here's some other sessions. Of course, we're at the end of the day Thursday here. There's still a couple of sessions tomorrow related to Azure Active Directory. We've got one on Active Directory Federation Domain Services tomorrow, as well as one on B2B or business to business, and joining Windows 10 devices. So there's some free IT pro resources out there. And finally, I encourage you to evaluate the session. Your feedback's really important. And I think now would be a good time to mention that today is my birthday. So if you want to give me a birthday present, please give me good marks, but only if you think it was a good session. And that's it. I will take questions. Thank you. Have a great day. Oh, if you have a question, please walk up to the microphone. It's over on this side. And also, anybody interested in Workday inbound integration to on-premise AD or our Sync Fabric SDK story, see me as well, because we can give you some more info. Yes, so the question was, is our inbound solution from Workday similar to what FIM and MIM do? The answer is yes. So today, Forefront Identity Manager and Microsoft Identity Manager are the main ways that people do inbound provisioning using Microsoft products. And so our solution for Workday will replace that. At least it'll replace it when it comes to provisioning through the identity systems and also provisioning throughout the cloud. Thank you. Welcome.